You were just wondering whether I was going to sit down. Yes, I'm an older person, but I can stand for half an hour. Just this last Thursday evening, I was standing just over there, and Brennan got me to hold a guitar. We had an amazing evening here of what we call prime praise. This was an amazing space where we gave praise to God. Those of us who are over 55 just have a little bit more life that's been poured into us by God, different experiences. We're just so grateful for the gifts and abilities. And so we met together to first of all just express our love towards God, but flowing out of that, our love towards people and different ways we can serve. So that was a good evening. Look forward to when you can be 55, because you can join this group. If you were here, you'll know what that was about. But what a joy just to see you all here, to be part of a community, praising God in different ways and in different expressions. So as Betsy mentioned, we are just taking a short break from our series in Ephesians. We'll be back to that next week. But I want you to keep your Bible open, please, at that passage that Lisa read to us in Luke chapter 24, because I'll be referring to that in just a few moments. And so today we are talking about the spiritual practice of meditating on Scripture. The spiritual practice of meditating on Scripture. And if you've been with us throughout the year, you'll know that this is the third spiritual practice that we are emphasizing and encouraging in this year of spiritual renewal. And I'd love to ask you how you're doing, but won't you take that question from me? And I hope that you've still got your journals. If you haven't, or you came during the course of the year, there's some more at the back there. But that's just a great resource for us as we go through this year of trusting God for spiritual renewal in our lives personally. And of course, we as the church means that what it'll look like for us as the Bridge Church and, of course, Christ Church across the universe. And earlier this year, we looked at the practice of silence and solitude, and then a little later at prayer and fasting. And just to encourage you in those practices, if you missed that, have a look back, have a refresh, and continue. There's some great notes in the journal. So, meditating on Scripture, or hearing God speak through His Word, or as the title I've given to our sermon tonight, Why I Love My Bible. Do you love your Bible? I love my Bible. This old Bible has been with me since I began my theological studies. I have a Bible at home, which has been my devotional Bible for a while. And it's just the greatest book. And how remarkable that the God of the universe would want to communicate with us. How remarkable that He would want to communicate with us. Because we are creatures of a material, physical world in which we relate through our five senses, our touch, our sight, our hearing, our smell, our taste, yet God is a spiritual being. And so in our physical state, we cannot see Him, hear Him, or touch Him. So how does He communicate with us? Through our Bibles. And so we're being encouraged tonight. Just a great topic that we pause and say, how much more time should we be giving to our Bibles, allowing God to speak to us? Yes, in a miraculous way, this holy book contains the sacred words of Almighty God. Contains all that He wanted us to know, how He inspired a select number of people to write it all down, and all of which has been kept for us. It's been kept, it's been translated, it's been presented for us to read today. We're doing it again tonight. Its truths apply to all of us, across all generations, across all cultures, across all life experiences. How remarkable. How remarkable that the God of the universe would want to communicate with us. And yet we respond by saying how grateful we are that He does, that He's chosen to communicate with us. Well, the first of my props I've got for you, because soon after we arrived in Sydney, as you know, we've been here for almost 4 months, we bought ourselves a little car. We bought ourselves a little white Yaris hatchback. Why? Because we wanted to obey all the Australian rules. And we wanted to fit into all those tiny parking spaces that we have here. And so with the car, we got this manual, 420 pages. Guess how many of those pages I've read? But you will agree, won't you, that this is what happens, whether it's for a vehicle or a device. We just read enough to get us going, to allow us to allow the product or the vehicle to perform, to get us going. Yet how often do we get frustrated? We lose out on the features or the benefits or the specifications because we haven't read the entire manual. And you know what I'm going to say next, don't you? But let's be honest. Are we not sometimes, if not too often, just the same when it comes to reading and digging deep and comprehensively studying and meditating on the Bible? We just read enough to get by. We miss much that God's Word has to offer, what He wants us to know and understand and to apply into our lives. But friends, we can change that. If you find yourself in that space, well, tonight's a great night for that to change or to be enhanced or strengthened. And we do so through renewed commitment, spirit-inspired, daily expectant time with God and His Word. So how can we help you do that well? For many, just to come tonight and to affirm, others to perhaps activate a new commitment to reading God's Word. This has been great. So grateful for those who prepared this journal. And if you've got it with you, you can even start glancing at now. But if not, go home and look up from page 38 to page 45. There's some really great input in this journal. There's some guidance. There's some resources. There's lots of bonus material which we can't fit into our time tonight. I'm going to highlight a few points. So there's one way how we can encourage you to meditate on God's Word and do it well. The second is I'm going to lead you through four questions tonight relating to this amazing, beautiful, powerful, life-changing, just the best book, the Bible. But before I do that, I want you to look back and to look down at that passage that Lisa read to us. I want us to reflect on the passage just in a few minutes. Because it's one of my favorite stories. It's a great passage. It's the most helpful story that we find here in Luke's gospel. It lays a great foundation for our study tonight. It's the Emmaus walk with Jesus. We can relate, can't we, to these two people, the context of two people walking and talking together. We can do that, can't we? We think of situations, we like to talk about them, and they were saying, well, I wonder what's happened. We were with Jesus, we heard what he was going to do, we saw him die on the cross, we know that he was put into the tomb, but what's happened to him? And they were confused about what had taken place. And in fact, verse 17 records how they were feeling. Their faces were downcast. And Jesus said to them, well, what things have happened? What things are you talking about? And they said in verse 21, there are three words there. Did you see them? We had hoped. Or as the New Living Translation said, we had thought. Because they had hoped for something different. They had hoped for more, and their hopes had been dashed. They were the expectations had failed. And we know what that means because information that goes into our brain is expressed in our beliefs and our emotions, our words, our behavior and actions, and the information that had gone into their minds had resulted in them being downcast. But just look what Jesus said in verse 25. He said, how foolish you are. Those strong words, of course they are, but if your scholars help us to go back to the original language, which actually means Jesus was saying to them, you are without mind. Your thinking is not right. You're not thinking correctly. Misinformation has influenced your state of mind. And so what does he do? Look at verse 27. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. In our language today, Jesus emphasized the importance of the spiritual practice of meditating on scripture, allowing the truth of God's word to fill our minds and not what we think should fill our minds or other people fill our minds or what we hear from those around about us. So, why is this account of the Emmaus Road interaction so important and so helpful for us when it comes to the spiritual practice of meditating on scripture? Well, it is for two reasons. Because it's about how Jesus seeks to walk alongside us. Quite simply, there's no one better. Why? Because he is the way, the truth, and the life. He invites us to embark on a slow, personal walk of deep discovery with him. It's about allowing Jesus to do that. And it's about hearing and understanding God's written and living word in its fullness, truth, and purpose, making sense of the meaning and application for our lives today. And there's a picture of how Jesus made that possible. I've got to know a man who I respect so much, and I've read much of his life and of his books he's written. Terry Virgo, he's a pastor, he's an author, he's a leader, and the founder of the New Frontiers family of churches. And I was just reading how he reflected on this passage, and let me quote just a couple of paragraphs in terms of how he saw this passage, this Emmaus Road passage. And I quote, he said, "Then followed the most enthralling hour of their lives. As beginning with Moses, Jesus unfolded the story of the Jewish nation and showed them how it all pointed to the coming Christ. He highlighted the center of the plot, the fact that underneath all the revelation of the prophets, the kings, the sacrifices, and the promised inheritance was one awesome figure. And the story had climaxed in a dramatic and necessary sacrifice, yet it did not end in death, but resurrection and life. Having thrilled their hearts with the biblical narrative, Jesus seemed as if he was to leave them, but they prevailed upon him to linger. It was only as he broke bread that their eyes were opened to his true identity." I love this last paragraph. Listen to this. "His purpose as they walked on the road was not simply to show them a spectacular miracle and capture their interest. His primary purpose was that they understood the story." Do you get it? There are five key words in that quote, which I want you to hear when it comes to this beautiful time of meditating God's word and enthralling our understanding the story, and enthralling our understanding the story. That's what meditation on scripture is all about. There's our foundation. Now the four questions that I promised that we would look at tonight. And here's the first one. What are we reading? What are we meditating on? First question. The second question is, why are we reading? Third question, how are we reading? And the fourth question is, how well are we responding? Ready to go? Question number one, what are we reading? Well, can I say it boldly and repeatedly and beautifully? The Bible is the Word of God. The Bible is the Word of God. No one greater, no one higher, no one better, the best. It's the Word of God. Let's be reminded from Scripture itself. 1 Kings 8 says this. That's too far away. 1 Kings 8, verse 56 says this. "Praise be to the Lord, who has given rest to his people Israel, just as he promised. Not one word has failed of all the good promises he gave through his servant Moses. Psalm 18, verse 30 says this, "As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless. He is a shield for all who take refuge in him." Listen to what Peter says. 2 Peter 1, verse 20 and 21 says, "Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." One more from 2 Timothy chapter 3. "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." Many more scriptures we could quote, but friends, God has chosen to reveal himself. God has chosen to speak to us through the Bible. And when it comes to hearing him speak and believing what he has said, nothing he says in any other way or context will ever override, undermine, or contradict what he has said in the scriptures. Friends, that is what we are reading. Question number two, why? Why are we reading? Why are we reading our Bibles? Why is it so important to read the Bible every day? Why is it so important to meditate on scriptures every day? I think amongst us, we could think of at least 50, 100 reasons for doing that. I've jotted down 12 reasons why it is so important to read and to meditate on scripture. Let me list them for you. Number one, the Bible reveals God's character, ways, promises, and truth. The Bible reveals how much God loves us and wants to guide us. The Bible contains the wonderful record of God's plan of salvation, which is ongoing and eternal. The Bible guides us in our daily living. It speaks into every dimension and situations of our lives. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Your lamp, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Number five, God's word, the Bible, provides good counsel for the many questions and challenges of life. The Bible helps us recognize true and false teaching. The Bible helps us to keep a right attitude towards God and others. The Bible warns us about influences and decisions that will harm us. The Bible tells us how to avoid sin. The Bible tells us how to be set free from sin. The Bible tells us how to be forgiven and how to forgive others. The Bible gives us peace for each day and hope for the future. Are you saying thank you, Lord, as you hear these truths about the Bible? Let me give you two more. The Bible teaches us how to trust God. The Bible guides us how to pray. The Bible guides us how to pray. That's why we read the Bible. That's why we meditate upon the scriptures. The third question we're asking ourselves again tonight is how are we reading? Will you turn back to the first scripture that was read for us tonight, to Psalm 1? Many might know it without even looking to that, but it's a great psalm. It gives us a great picture when it comes to the question, how are we reading? Psalm 1 says this, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of mockers, whose delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law, on his truth, they meditate day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. whatever they do prospers. What a beautiful picture. What a decision to make. What a path to walk. What an outcome to experience and to enjoy. This psalm tells us, it speaks about putting aside any other attraction or distraction. It speaks about delighting in God's word, loving your Bible, your time with God, allowing his word to pierce and sink deeply into your mind and to your heart. It speaks about dedicating quality time to reading and to studying and to grappling and to absorbing and to memorizing God's word. It speaks about meditating, allowing God's word to take root, to savor its meaning and its application, to ponder. A lovely word, to ponder. To consider its original context, to consider its current context, to acknowledge its relevance and its power. It's allowing the living word of God to live in you. Can we get practical for a few minutes? I've got some more props here as well. Not the Yaris one, that's not much good for this. But I've got two props here. The one is called Encounter with God. Many of us know Scripture Union, and they've been around for about 150 years. We've appreciated Scripture Union for lots of reasons. We used to go on their camps and outings and things like that, but we've been using their daily reading notes for a long time. And the subtitle of this one says, Renew Your Mind, Engage Your World. Yes, it's a paper copy because I'm old. But here it is. I love it. It helps me to meditate on God's word. Yes, we take a passage, and over a period of time, it goes through the Bible. So you don't kind of selectively jump from here to there. It takes you through every book of the Bible over a few years, and you read portions every day, and there's some great people that help you to understand it. It gets you to stop and to pause and to ponder some of the words and to meditate upon God's word day by day. I could take you through so many examples. You can see how it's been highlighted. And as I was preparing this sermon, we're going through the book of Deuteronomy, and it just spoke into even my preparation for tonight. A day it spoke into my own life where it was dealing with doubts and struggles. As a pastor, it speaks into how I can deal with people day by day. It's the most beautiful thing to do, to spend time with God. In a moment, we can look at some other resources, but I'm just saying this is what I find helpful. As I read God's word every day, it just is so good. And I want to encourage you to make this your essential daily practice, your routine, and get something to help you, to keep you on track. The other one is what we all received earlier in the year, and I said to you, if you didn't get one, there's some more at the back there, but if you've got it with you now, you can just look with me. I'll just use some examples, quote some things from this Spiritual Renewal Journal, just thanks to Nick for preparing this. But there's a section here which speaks about how we can start and strengthen and sustain our time in God's Word, and there are four areas: reading, meditating, praying, and contemplating. And reading is just doing that. Reading God's word slowly and carefully and repeatedly. Considering just the context there in terms of when it was written, and also to look at it in terms of where it fits into the chapter that you're reading in, into the book that you're reading, into the wider perspective of the Bible. That's how you read a passage of Scripture. Noticing how the words are repeated, what themes are important, how does the author make the point? We read. Then we meditate. And I quote what Nick has said here. He said, if reading was where we put the food into our mouth, meditation is where we are starting to chew, to swallow, and to inwardly process. We've been considering the text before us with our heads. Now we are seeking to ponder the text with our hearts. How does this enrich my understanding of Jesus? What does this mean for the Christian life? How does this grate against my current living? What does this mean in my world? It's all here. I I want to encourage you to go back and have a look. It says further, one more paragraph, note the shift. This is in our meditation. Note the shift from questions of the text to questions of ourselves and the world. This is not an act of your own reasoning. This is the work of the Spirit of God who lives within us, casting light and teaching us as he promised he would. Isn't that beautiful? That's what it's about. Reading, meditating, praying. As God has been speaking to you, we can speak back to him. That's the beautiful relationship we have with him. Praying before we start, saying, Lord, open my eyes, my ears, my heart to what it is. And then praying afterwards or during it, just acknowledging what he's saying to you and saying, thank you, Lord. Help me to understand more. Help me to apply it more. And then the fourth area is contemplation. And simply put, contemplation is the act of gazing, beholding, grasping, and heartfelt worshiping over the divine beauty of God in the gospel. All that we have uncovered and we've been immersed in his word, we then say, wow, what a God. This is who you are. This is what you've said. This is what you've promised. And so we are enriched in spending time with God. There are lots of great things here, which I know each of us will be able to say, well, this would work for me. There's memorizing scripture. There's reading scripture in different ways. Have a look through there. Read the Bible in a year. Read books of the Bible in one sitting. There are lots of ways of doing it. Getting creative, using journals, using preset journals or writing your own journal, and then different ways of reading Bible, whether it's through a hard copy like this or going onto many apps. I know Jill has found great benefit in Lectio 365. Paul commented on using it in our newsletter this or last week. There's the Bible in the Year. Someone was speaking about that yesterday, Nikki Gumbel's Bible in the Year, and different ways of having someone to help you along the way. How are you doing in terms of reading your Bible? What are we reading? Why are we reading it? How are we reading it? Here's the last question. How well are you responding? How well are you responding? Most of you know that I just love being a pastor. I love the privilege of meeting with people, journeying with people through the various stages and events and circumstances of their lives. And when I'm engaging in a pastoral conversation, a personal pastoral conversation, one of the questions I always ask, and I do so with respect, with sincerity, with love, with interest, and with good intentions to encourage the person, I say to them, how are you doing? How are you doing in your walk with God each day? Or how would you describe your relationship with God right now? Or how do you connect with him? How do you speak to him? How do you hear from him? These are two or three questions that I love to ask. And so I want to ask you tonight, as I quoted those questions, I wonder what went through your mind. And with specific reference to our focus for today, how are you doing in the practice of meditating on Scripture? Are you appreciating, growing, benefiting from taking time and effort to listen, to trust, to obey, to apply God's Word in and through your life? Are you asking and allowing the Holy Spirit to guide you in your understanding and your discernment and your remembrance and your proclaiming of Scripture? Are you following Jesus' example of spending time with his Father, of knowing the Scriptures and allowing God's truth to impact upon every dimension of your life? How are you doing? So why am I asking you all these questions? Why am I wanting to encourage you in this beautiful spiritual practice? And my answer is just this. Reading and meditating on Scripture is the most delightful, beneficial, empowering, faith-building, glorifying experience that you'll ever have. Reading and meditating on Scripture is the most delightful, beneficial, empowering, faith-building, glorifying experience. As book after book, after page, and word after word, we develop and express a sense of wonder and joy that through the Bible and the Holy Spirit, we receive a revelation from God. The living, almighty, loving, gracious God speaks to me, to you, to us. Friends, may we each be freshly encouraged, determined, with God's help, to engage in the spiritual practice of meditating on Scripture, loving our Bibles. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord, what a joy it is to be in your presence, to allow you to speak to us just so clearly through your word. We thank you for our Bibles. Thank you, Lord, for your beautiful design and your desire and your determination and all your help that you give so we can know your will for our lives and for the world. We can know more about you and all your beautiful promises and the truths for each day of our lives. And so will you help us? Will you help us to just spend that time, to carve out time with you in your word, allowing you, Holy Spirit, to help us. We need that. Following your example, Jesus, encouraging each other as fellow believers to read and to meditate and then to proclaim the wonderful word of God. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.